Cast. Presented by XFL2K.com. With your host, Tron Hawkins.
Welcome to This Is The XFL Podcast. I am your host, Tron Hawkins, as always, here talking about the rules. I'm sorry it took me so long to come out with this episode. I had some technical difficulties with my computer and tablet and stuff, but here I am, finally back to doing what I love, what y'all love to listen to. Thank you so much. The last couple weeks, I've had a lot of new listeners and stuff, and I appreciate a lot of new followers on Twitter and on Facebook. Follow me on Twitter and Facebook at XFL Podcast. I post a lot of stuff on there talking about, you know, the XFL, obviously. So this episode, I'm going to talk about the rules. But first, I'm going to talk about two big news stories to get out of the way first, and then we'll get into the rules. So first thing to talk about is Landry Jones. He suffered injury last Monday at training camp, pretty much right like the first day, you know, that he was out there. Bob Stoops said, "We're sorry to see Landry sidelined for 4 to 6 weeks and are hopeful he will heal quickly and be back on the field at our opener, if not shortly after. Landry is the leader of our team and will continue to play a key role." So about this is, he's going to miss probably the first week or so. I would say 2 weeks. So what they did was, they got Eric Dungy from Syracuse, brought him in to compete with Nelson, with Philip Nelson, who formerly of the AAF. I think Philip Nelson will get the start since he's been there longer, and Eric Dungy is going to be a good backup. But with the double forward pass, we might see both of them on the field, so keep an eye out for that. My concern is with this is, how does it affect them the first two games? I know the first week they play St. Louis in a great main event game for the weekend. That's the last game of the season. I would pick St. Louis right now, and we'll get to that, you know, for the week of picks. But I'd pick St. Louis right now because they have all their guys healthy, as far as we know, and they got pretty good defense. So they need to get Philip Nelson or Dungy ready now to kind of get ready. You know, good thing, not a good thing that he got hurt, but good thing it's early in the training camp. So whoever's going to be the starter is going to have plenty of time to practice with the one team to play against St. Louis come week one, February 9th. But, like I said, they got plenty of time. Thing is, though, how long will it take for Landry Jones to get back in the groove once he comes back? I ain't saying this is a quarterback competition or anything. Landry Jones will be the guy. Can they start at 0-2, 0-3? It's possible when they're in the A-hole, behind the 8-ball there. We're going to see how good of a coach Bob Stoops really is with the situation and see if he can turn this team around with a backup quarterback. The next thing I want to talk about is a trade that happened. The LA Wildcats traded Rashard Ross to the DC Defenders for Trey McBride. DC obviously won this trade. I think they're even more powerful now. Rashard Ross led the AAF in touchdowns and yards and everything like that for wide receivers. And now you got Cardale Jones throwing in the barrel. What a deadly combination. Defenders got the best wide receiver room in the league. I don't understand this position-for-position trade that's been going on. The only thing I can think of maybe is these guys they drafted, they see that they're not a fit for their offensive scheme once they get in the training camp and mini camps. But yeah, why they make this trade? A lot of LA fans were confused by it, and I've seen a lot of DC fans celebrating it, thinking they are going to win the championship because of this trade, and it's possible. This is the biggest trade that's happened so far in the XFL. I think it's an interesting trade. We're going to see a lot more trades between now and the beginning of the season. You know, it's not a coincidence that these two teams scrimmage against each other yesterday before the trade. So maybe they're like, hey, I like that guy. Or, well, I like that guy. Let's do a switch. I mean, something's going on there. But we're going to see more trades leading up to week one for sure. All right, when I get back, we're going to talk about the rules. And we're going to kind of deep dive into them and kind of explain them the best we can. It's kind of hard to explain them when we get to see them on the field. But some great stuff to talk about this episode. So last week, the rules was released last Tuesday. Great rules. We kind of knew what to expect. They got rid of some stuff like the halo rule because the guys can get used to it. I think all the rules are awesome. I think they all make sense for the league, and I don't think any of them is really over the top. There's some that's kind of questionable, but there's none like really like, oh my god, what the hell are they thinking with these rules. Let's talk about the kickoff. That's the first thing I want to talk about. The kicker kicks the ball from the 25-yard line and must kick the ball in the air and in play between the opponent's 20-yard line and the end zone. The coverage teams line up on the return side, 35-yard line, and the return team lines up on the 30-yard line. Each team must have exactly 3 players outside the hash marks on both sides of the ball and cannot move until the ball is caught by the returner. We're going to have a lot of kickoffs in this league, at least a lot of kickoff yardage. Out-of-bounds kicks and kick that falls short of the 20-yard line will result in an illegal procedure penalty, taking the ball all the way up to the kicking team's 45-yard line. Players can move when the ball is touched by the returner or 3 seconds after the ball touches the ground when the official waves his hand. If the ball is kicked into the end zone and is down, it is a major touchback and the ball is placed on at the return side 35-yard line. If the ball bounces in bounds and then out of the end zone or is down in the end zone, the ball is placed at the return side 15-yard line. If a player on the return team touches the ball and it goes out of bounds, the ball is spotted where it goes out of bounds. If a team wishes to run onside kick and must indicate this to officials before the play, and the two teams must be permitted to line up using traditional NFL rules, i.e. 10 yards apart for the kicking team, there will be no surprise onside kicks in the XFL. So, good lord of the penalties on the kickoffs. You know, it's like, okay, if you kick out of bounds by accident, you're screwed. We get that this is going to be an offensive league. And we had a defender from one of the teams say they're just giving the offense even more to go with. You know, giving them even more leeway in this league. And I kind of see where they're coming from. It says the rationale behind this rule, with a goal to eliminate safety issues with kickoffs, the NCAA and NFL created more opportunities for touchbacks. The increase in touchbacks naturally leads to fewer returns, which means fewer meaningful plays. The XFL's proposed rule change will encourage more kick returns while making the play less dangerous by eliminating the 30-yard sprint to collision. But if you're waiting for the ball to come, which we talked about this in the Reimagine episode back at the very beginning of the show, you know, one of the first podcasts, it gives them time to kind of figure out who's going where, you know, and it gives the kicking the returning team tends to block. I love this rule, though. I like having more meaningful plays. This is what fans wanted. You know, how many times you hear a boo on the, you know, how many kick returns you think we had in the NFL this year for touchdowns? Like a handful, maybe? You know, people boo touchbacks now. I remember when Devin Hester returned to, you know, kick off our touchdown in the Super Bowl, one of the best, you know, opening plays in history of NFL, and that's gone now. So hopefully in the XFL, we have more kickoff return touchdowns, or at least more kickoff returns that set up good, you know, good field positions. That, okay, I'm just going to take a knee, give it to me at my 25. The next rule is the PAT, the point or points now after touchdowns. The XFL rule is after a touchdown, the team has an option of running a play from the 2-yard line, 5-yard line, or 10-yard line worth 1, 2, or 3 points respectively. The team must run an offensive play and no kicking plays are allowed. If the defense is able to cause a turnover and return the ball to the opponent's end zone, the resulting play is equal to the number of points the offense was attempting to score on its PAT. Love this rule. This is my favorite rule of the whole thing. If you're down 18 points, you can come back on 2 touchdowns and, you know, two 3-point conversions. I mean, that sounds hard, obviously, but you have a chance. You're not totally out of it. The games are never over, and that's exciting. The only thing I like about it is when I do my preview episodes for each week, I can't predict a score. I mean, how the hell are you going to pick the score? It's like, okay, this game's going to be 42 to 38. Like, you know, like numbers, well, you can get to 42, but like 38 would be kind of hard to get to without kicking. So, I mean, you're going to have weird scores. Hey, at halftime, it could be, okay, the score is 18 to 11. You know? So it's going to be kind of hard to, you know, I'm just being kind of selfish here for that part. It's going to be kind of hard to predict scores with these kind of scoring rules. This is the rationale. The NFL has a near automatic play with its extra point kick. The XFL has created excitement by replacing a kick with a play from scrimmage. To provide even more excitement, we added an opportunity for a 3-point play, which means that an 18-point deficit is still a 2-possession game. Like I just said. Fans have told the XFL that the 3-point play creates more strategy and innovation for the coaches, and they're right. It's going to be a chess match. We're going to find out what coach is playing chess and which one's playing checkers. Obviously, I think the first weekend we're going to see more 1- and 2-point conversions, unless they're down 9 points, and that might be it the whole time. You might see 1- and 2-point unless you're down by 27, 18, 9. You know what I'm saying? Well, you have to go for the 3-point play. But knowing somebody like Winston Moss, he might score a touchdown and go for 3 automatically. Bam, 9-0. So that's going to be interesting to see for sure what strategy these coaches do, especially with the other rules like we're going to talk about later, like the double forward pass. They might use that from the 10-yard line. Interesting stuff's going to happen in this league. I am so excited for it. We're only a month away. The next rule, punt. So this is actually a favorite rule. So they got rid of the halo rule because the players couldn't get used to it. So this is probably the best it's going to get. punting team cannot release past the line of scrimmage until the ball is kicked. Gunners must line up at the line of scrimmage and are permitted to move laterally once the ball is snapped until it is kicked. Defenders of the gunner cannot cross the line of scrimmage until the ball is kicked. If the ball goes out of bounds inside the 35-yard line, it is a major touchback and the ball goes to the 35-yard line. If a punted ball lands in opponent's end zone or goes out of the end zone, the result is a major touchback. The ball goes to the 35-yard line. Fair catch is permitted, though the disincentive dies. So, again, punishing the kickers for kicking out of bounds. They want every play to mean something. They don't want, oh, ball went out of bounds. You get it there. Or, oh, I'm just going to let it go out of, you know. You can't, oh, I'm going to aim for the coffin corner. Can't do that. The ball's got to be inbounds and it's got to be returnable. And for safety, like on the kickoff, the guy's got to catch it first before you can mollywop them. So here's the rationale behind it. Fans told the XFL they didn't like the amount of punts, specifically punts in opponent's territory. Like, say, if you got a 47-yard line, you're going to kick it. Look, I mean, look at what the Patriots did a couple times in their playoff game against the Titans. And how many punts did not have returned? 47% ended in fair catch, out of bounds, or touchback. The XFL has instituted two rule changes to address these concerns. All out-of-bounds kicks create a touchback, major to the 35, and no punt coverage players can release until the ball is kicked. This will create an average distance between the punt return and the nearest defender to 11 yards versus other leagues, 6 yards, creating less reason for a fair catch. The XFL touchback changes will create less incentive for teams to punt in an opponent's territory. In NFL and college, touchbacks go to the 20, so teams will risk less versus the XFL on punts. Our coaches will be incentivized to go for it on fourth down because there's a higher likelihood of a positive punt return and no ability to pin the receiving team with a coffin corner kick. So it's like, okay, it's fourth and 30 at y'all's 49-yard line. So you're right over midfield. Go for the 3. Because if you punt it, it can get returned and get returned either for a touchdown or past the 50. So just go for it on fourth down, take your shot, and who knows, you might get a touchdown or at least a first down. So they're saying, okay, coaches, we want you to go for it on fourth down more. Again, makes it interesting. Next is the double forward pass. XFL rule. If a team completes a forward pass behind the line of scrimmage, that team may throw a second forward pass as long as the ball has not crossed the line of scrimmage. Once the ball has passed the line of scrimmage, no forward passes are permitted. Rationale. The double pass is one of the most exciting plays in football, and the XFL aims to add excitement while maintaining traditional football. The double forward pass updates the rule to make a double pass less risky because the first pass may fall incomplete rather than becoming a fumble lateral. You see a lot of trick plays in the NFL now where you got, okay, he pitches behind him, running back throws it, like Derrick Henry did in the playoff. Well, kind of. I guess that was a complete, you know, that was actually a direct snap. But, you know, running back passes, stuff like that. This way, though, he can throw it in front, person catches it, then throws it downfield. Interesting stuff. Especially you got these two-way players playing wide receiver that used to be quarterback in college or something. You can use them. You can have two quarterbacks, like in Houston. You can have Phillip Walker and Connor Cook on the field at the same time. And even if you're not going to double forward pass, the idea is out there, right? You can make them think you're going to do that. So that makes it interesting. If you got two good quarterbacks, they're going to use them some in this league, in this way. The next rule is another one of my favorites, overtime. XFL rule. Overtime shall consist of 5 rounds, stayed in alternating single play possessions as in customary NHL or MLS penalty kicks and shootouts, respectively. A round will consist of 1 offensive play per team. Each possession starts at an opponent's 5-yard line, and the offensive team has 1 play to score. The team with the more points after 5 rounds is the winner. If a team has been mathematically eliminated before all 5 rounds have been completed, the game ends immediately. Example, if Team A scores on the first 3 attempts and Team B is stopped on the first 3 attempts, there's no subsequent plays are necessary. If teams are tied after 5 rounds, then rounds continue until one team is leading at the conclusion of a round, and that team will be the winner. For scoring purposes, each successful overtime is worth 2 points. Again, how are we going to predict the scores of this game, scores of these games, if it goes to overtime? It's going to be just oddly scored games, which is kind of awesome. We're going to see scores we've never seen before. The defense team cannot score. If the offensive team commits a turnover, the play is over immediately. If the defensive team commits a penalty, the offensive team will be allowed to reattempt from the 1-yard line, so even closer. Any subsequent penalty committed by the defensive team on any play afterwards, including the future rounds, will result in a score awarded to the offensive team. So you only commit one penalty per round, pretty much. So if you get a penalty, it says the next time, the next penalty committed will be an automatic score. So you can only commit one penalty pretty much in overtime, is what I got from it. If the offensive team commits a pre-snap penalty, the ball will be moved back from the original spot, persistent to regular rules, and the play will be reattempted. If the offensive team commits a post-snap penalty, the play will end and no score will be rewarded. That would be awful, especially if you're about to win the game. There will be a minimum of 20 seconds between plays, and the ball spotting official will work in conjunction with TV and official review to signal when the next play begins. The only thing I worry about at this play is, what if a penalty that wasn't really a penalty gets called, and the team loses because of it? Like a controversial ending. That's the only thing that worries me about the overtime rules. Like, oh, we're tied, we just got stopped, we need this. Oh, there's a second penalty that really wasn't a penalty, automatic score, game over. We lose by two. That's the only thing I worry about, is what if it referees accidentally, they overlook a penalty that should have been called or called one that shouldn't have been called, and it dictates the whole overtime. That's the only thing that worries me about this rule. Rationale. NFL overtime can end in a tie, and a team's offense may never see the field, like Patrick Mahomes last year in the AFC Championship game. Overtime may also take 27 minutes to compete in the NFL. XFL overtime allows both teams to play offense in under 10 minutes, and we will always have a winner. So that's the actual rules we talked about. Next is five timing changes. XFL rule. We'll implement a 25-second play clock that begins after the ball is spotted for the next play. It takes 7 seconds on average to spot the ball, average 32-second play clock. Rationale. In order to speed up the game, we wanted to minimize downtime between plays. Our coaching staffs and teams are going to provide what fans want, more football during that time. So, got to be moving. That's what's going to be interesting about these guys that's hurt right now, like Landry Jones. Well, they're going to be able to pick back up and go, 25-second play clock. But, again, offensive advantage, we're going to talk about in a minute. They're going to have headsets, where the defense don't even have two headsets, I think, is what they said. So let's see if the defense gets tired quicker than offense. It's going to be interesting to see who will get tired quicker, offense, defense. We just wear them down with the play clock. Bam, beat them every time. Sign me up, as the referee say. Comeback period. XFL rule. Occurs after a 2-minute warning in each half. On plays that end in the field of play, the game clock will be stopped until the ball has been spotted and 5 seconds have run off the play clock. On incomplete passes and out of bounds, the game will stop. The game clock will stop completely until the ball is snapped. Rationale. The most exciting part of the game is the end of each half, and XFL aims to maximize this excitement. By stopping the game clock after every play, during the 2-minute warning of each half, the team that is trailing has a clear way to maximize its remaining time and still has the ability to use its complete playbook, including runs or plays in the middle of the field. Also, a team cannot run out the clock at the end of the game until the opponent has no timeouts and there is 1 minute left. 5 second runoff of the play clock, so 20 seconds can be run off a play. Versus the NFL, where a game can essentially be ended with 2 minutes left through 3 kneeling downs that each 40 seconds off the play clock. I hate that rule. Next one, running play clock. XFL rule says, outside the last 2 minutes of each half, the game clock will run after incompletions and out-of-bounds plays. Aside from incompletions and out-of-bounds plays, the game clock rolls outside the last 2 minutes of each half are the same as the NFL. Rationale. The XFL is aiming to play each game in under 3 hours, but the same amount of total plays. In order to achieve this goal, the XFL is treating incompletions and out-of-bounds plays as the same plays as if they ended in the field of play. Awesome rule. So it's always going to be, bam, 15 minutes. Think about it. The first quarter will be pretty much 15 minutes. I mean, they're going to have commercial breaks and change of possession, but in real time, it should be about 15 minutes, 25, 30 at the most, real time. I was getting the other day, 15, the whole quarter, but the first half of the Texans-Chiefs game was literally like 3 hours long, I feel like. So this is going to make it like, you know what? I can get through this game quick. You know, I talked to my girlfriend the other day. I'm not able to watch every game live. We have a kid. We go places. But if I have a DVR, if I DVR the game with fast forward to the commercials, I can get to a game in like probably an hour and a half. I can get to a football game and watch every play in an hour and a half probably if I DVR'd it. That is awesome. That's thinking about the fans, especially in this busy age that we live in. So I can watch every game for you, the people. I can watch 2 games in 3 hours. if I had to, if I didn't watch it live. So that's the coolest thing to me. I'm just being honest. Timeouts. Each team will have 2 1-minute timeouts per half. Rationale. With our rule changes in the last 2 minutes, coaches should not need as many timeouts to help create a comeback. By eliminating one timeout per half, we limit the number of stoppages during the most exciting part of the game. If a play is reviewed and overturned by replay during timeout, that team that took timeout will not be charged. So that's interesting. You know, if they had time to look at it, you wonder how many coaches are going to call timeout going, okay, please look at it. Because that's what NFL coaches do after 2 minute warning. They take a timeout going, okay, are y'all going to check this out or not? So, 2 1-minute timeouts for half, though. We're going to get to other rules. These players are going to be wore out. It makes you wonder. I know they're trying to do it for safety. But it makes you wonder how many guys are going to get hurt pulling a muscle, running up and down the field, you know, for 2.5 hours. That's what's interesting to me. Are these guys going to be able to keep up with the rules and stay uninjured? Replay rulings. NFL rule. The XFL will have no coaches' challenges, and all plays will be subject to review from the replay official who will be stationed in a booth above the field. Reviewable plays are limited to A, plays involving possession, B, plays involving touching of either the ball or the ground, C, plays governed by the goal line, D, plays governed by the boundary lines, E, plays governed by the line of scrimmage, F, plays governed by the line of gain, G, number of players on the field at the snap, that's interesting, H, game administration, 1, penalty enforcement, 2, proper down, 3, spot of a foul, 4, status of the game clock, I, disqualification of a player, the list of reviewable plays is identical to those in the NFL prior to 2019. Exception, the replay official may correct obvious errors involving player safety at any point throughout the game. Exception, the replay official may correct any egregious obvious error that may have been significant to impact the outcome of the game in the last 5 minutes of the fourth quarter or overtime. So in other words, we're not going to let y'all screw up the game. The coaches. The referees. We're not going to let the referees screw up the game. If it's obvious, like in the NFC Championship game last year, we're going to review it and we're going to try to get it right. Coaches' challenges. Each team has submitted 2 challenges that would initiate. That's NFL rule. Let's cut that. Rationale. Review and replay in football officiating is paramount to how fans view the game. To get the play right is of utmost importance to the XFL, and our goal is to provide quality reviews at the right times in a timely fashion. By eliminating coaching challenges, we don't rely on the team to fix miscues by the officials, and by only allowing common sense to be applied to officiating, we put the fans first instead of the process. In other words, the referees are not going to be bigger than the game itself. You know, the referees are there to referee, not to dictate the outcome of the game. That's what they're saying. And the coaches don't have to worry about that. They don't have to worry about coaching their teams. Here's the 5 common sense rule. 1 foot in bounds is a catch. This is the best rule of them all. Well, this ain't the Dez Bryant rule. This ain't, you know, 1 foot college rules, the best rules. No 2 feet. To catch a ball means that a player, 1, secures control of a live ball in flight before the ball touches ground. 2, the ground inbounds, touches the ground inbounds with any part of his body, and then 3, maintain control of the ball long enough to enable him to perform an act common to the game, i.e. long enough to pitch or hand the ball and advance it, avoid or ward off an opponent, etc. Rationale. Catches in the NFL are often up to debate because of timing and control of the football. By simplifying the rules that establish control of the football, we are creating easier ways for officials to determine when a catch is made. When interviewing over 100 players on their opinion, players often said a catch is made with your hands, not your feet. Just get 1 foot in bounds. We're going to have some tremendous catches with this 1 foot in bounds thing. Think about how many great catches in the field have been overturned because one of the feet went out. This is going to make it simple and, again, gives less ways to referee to screw up the game. Dedicated ball spotting official. Rule. There will be a dedicated ball spotting official who will solely be responsible for quickly spotting the ball and getting a new ball after each play. Here's the rationale behind that. The NFL cycles a new ball in and out of the game between plays and using the entire crew and the ball personnel on the sideline. The average time to operate the ball spot the ball is 12 seconds, but is variable depending on the situation. The ball spotting official standardizes the time it takes to spot the ball and gives the XFL an on-field official with control of the game tempo. If you want fast and exciting football, this is how you do it. It's simple, but it's effective. Coach to player communication. This is what I was talking about earlier. While still in development, the goal for a select offensive player to have coach to player helmet receiver. The coach's player system will allow a member of the coach's staff in the bench area or in the coach's booth to communicate to a player through a speaker in his helmet. Broadcast partners would have access to the communication and may use it during the game. We're going to be able to hear this during the game. That is insane, and I love it. You know, like, all right, it's, you know, it's fourth and goal, game's on the line. Let's hear what the coach saying to the quarterback. I mean, what more do you want? That is awesome access right there. Rationale: by allowing the coaches to communicate with all offensive skill players that substitute and change location for each play, we can play at a faster pace. Since offense changes much more than defense, we'll only need to adjust the way that the offense communicates to players. The defense might even get headsets. You know, originally it said all offensive players get it and two defensive players. But obviously that's changed, or maybe they're still looking at it. But awesome rule. I'm loving it, especially with all the access we'll get through the TV partners. Simplified illegal man downfield. The rule is no ineligible player shall be or have been more than 3 yards beyond the line of scrimmage until a passer throws an illegal forward pass that crosses the line of scrimmage. A player in violation of this rule if any part of his body is beyond the 3 yard limit. Rationale: the rule has become more important part of football due to the advent of the RPO, run pass option. Due to the way the rule is traditionally written, it's hard to officiate. The XFL has written the rule clearer while also helping teams that run the RPO. So it's like, okay, you can still do the RPO, but you got to do it this way. So it makes sense. Shorter halftime. This is the last rule. 10-minute break, and then back to the action. That's the one I'm kind of confused about. I get they want to speed up and everything, but what if they need more than a break? I mean, 10 minutes is not nothing. I get why they're doing it, but... I mean, think about in the stands. You want to go get a snack. 10 minutes might not even enough time to stand in line that long. You know, standing. You might not want to. There might be people not even eating at the stadium because they don't want to miss a thing. The lines ain't going to move in 10 minutes. These players will be worn out. Can you imagine being on defense? Say the last drive took 7 minutes off the clock and they kicked the field goal. Just say. You guys been on defense and you're like, okay, you get a 10-minute break and you got to go out there for another 7 to 8 minute drive. They're going to be insanely wore out. That's the only rule I'm kind of confused by. I get what they're doing. They want to be quicker when the game be ending. But at what cost to the player, especially on defense? I love the rules, though. In closing, I love the rules. I think it's exactly what we thought they was going to be even a year ago. They've been testing them out. Obviously, they got rid of some stuff like the Halo rule, like I said. But the overtime, the kickoff, all of it, love it. I get what they're trying to do, and I love it. I can always see it in action in February. This is going to be the best. This is going to be the most important thing, is seeing it on the field. Oliver Lux said in interviews, next season, they might change some. They're going to look at it this season, see how it goes, review the tape in the offseason, and change it, you know, for year two if they have to. So it's going to be interesting what they take in, what they put in, what they take out next year. So we're going to have a whole new set of rules to talk about next year. We're going to have a new set of rules to talk about every year. Thank you for joining me on this episode. Cannot wait. We're getting closer. Today at Super Bowl, I will be recording my week one preview. It's exciting to talk about what's going to happen week one. It's going to be this... amazing. I got the day off today after Super Bowl, so I'm like, why not record? Check me out on XFL, at XFL Podcast on Facebook and Twitter. Check out XFL Newsroom. Check out XFL Delivery Man. Check out XFL Unhinged. Check out, we got a new fantasy partner. I can't think of his name off the top of my head, but we got him coming on board, XFL Newsroom. This is a legit thing. XFL Newsroom is taking over XFL's, you know, social media and stuff, and I'm happy to be a part of it for over a year now. Cannot wait to go out there in March and see the Roughnecks in Seattle go down and get CD rules alive. Also, join our Discord XFL Newsroom. This is going to be a great time to be had. Week one's getting closer and closer. Let me know what you think about the rules. Leave it in the comments on the YouTube video or inbox me. Inbox me anytime on Twitter or Facebook. I'm always here to talk. Love hearing from y'all. This is a fans first podcast. We don't sell out to go big time. Not yet, anyway. This is fans first. I'm a fan first and foremost. Thank you and good night.